623, 1320 WILS. Today at Michigan State University, there was a lecture held asking the question, has America become Europe? The Hans Senholtz lecture at MSU. The speaker, Dr. Samuel Gregg, with us, director of the Acton Institute in Grand Rapids. Dr. Gregg, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you for having me on. It's great to be with you.
You've written many books, including your book in 2013, Becoming Europe. Have we now become Europe?
Well, parts of the United States have certainly become Europe. I think California, Illinois, much of the northeast coast of the United States has moved in the direction of what you might call European social democracy, which means there's a top-down approach to the economy, which means that the government is focused not so much upon economic liberty and growth, but much more upon economic liberalization, where there's a heavy emphasis upon regulation, where the welfare state is quite extensive in its involvement in the economy. Mm-hmm. So, yes, parts of the United States have certainly moved in the direction of many Western European social democracies.
What about Michigan? How do we sit in the picture?
Actually, Michigan is doing better. I think certainly over the past 8 years, we've seen a move away from what you might call European-like symptoms in the state of Michigan when it came to dealing with any number of economic problems. There's moves towards liberalized labor market, moves towards a more business-friendly environment, a certain degree of deregulation, getting rid of some subsidies. So I think in the case of Michigan, it's moved more or less in the right direction.
Yeah. So for those that look at Europe and say, look, they've got these lengthy vacations, generous pensions, universal health care, what's the problem with us becoming like Europe?
The problem with those things is that, A, they're economically unsustainable because Europe does have this tremendous emphasis upon economic security for the state, through the state. The problem is, it's not sustainable because it has serious negative effects upon wealth creation, and you can't distribute wealth in the first place unless you're creating it beforehand. So that's one thing. The second thing is that there are various other economic consequences which are turning out to be very negative. So, for example, you have very strong labor market regulation in many European countries, which makes it very hard for businesses to fire people or to let people go when they need to in economic downturns. The problem with that is that if you have very strong labor market regulation that makes it difficult to fire people or let them go, there's not many incentives to hire people in the first place. Mm-hmm. So while you have extensive high youth unemployment for precisely this reason, in many European countries you have large numbers of people who are on, basically they work in several different jobs, all on different contracts because they can't get a full-time job because they cannot get full-time employment because businesses are saying, if I hire this person and full-time, if they don't turn out to be not the right person, I'll never be able to move them on.
So it seemed, though, for a while Europe was doing relatively well. Why is this happening now? What's occurring now that wasn't the case 20, 30 years ago?
Well, I think the welfare state is now consuming larger proportions of the GDP. The degree of state control, the degree of GDP which is now controlled in some way by the state in many European countries is over 50%. In France, for example, it's 56%. Mm-hmm. You also have the problem of they're not having enough children, which means that the welfare state is becoming harder to sustain over a period of several generations. Entrepreneurs are leaving parts of Europe because they're figuring that there's a better, more opportunity for them elsewhere where they don't have as much bureaucracy and regulation to deal with. So basically, these things were all in place by the by the 1970s. But since then, we've seen an acceleration of these things because once these trends get in place, they tend to speed up and they get harder and harder to reverse.
So when you look at what's happening here, where are we now? Are we at a point where we're going to reverse that? Are we sliding in that direction anyway? What's happening?
I think it depends on which part of the country you're in. As I said at the beginning, states like California, Illinois, parts of the Northeast Coast are very much down that path. And I don't see much prospect of them turning around because the political and economic incentives are all aligned the wrong way.
Yeah, but I mean, they have to balance their budgets, right? At some point, they're going to have to make the hard decisions.
They've been putting those decisions off for a very long time. And every time they try, there is an attempt at reform, there's massive resistance. not just from the left, but on some portions of the right as well, when it comes to making serious reforms. Okay. And in democratic systems, politicians tend not to lead. They tend to follow. And if enough of the population want to keep the status quo, which is what you find in Northeast Coast, in California, in Illinois, politicians will tend to follow down that path.
What about federally, though? Do you think that there's a different picture on the federal level?
Yes, I do, because I think at least at the current administration is proposing to engage in substantive internal liberalization. Mm. I think business thinks now it has a friend in the White House, which I think is true, and the president and his administration seem committed to reducing certain parts of the federal budget to encouraging a more pro-business environment. Mm. On the other hand, I think the move away from free trade is not likely to be healthy, because I think protectionism, or what you might call economic nationalism, I think it leads to America becoming less competitive. I think it encourages businesses to look more towards getting subsidies and tariffs from the government.
Do you agree that we've been somehow taken advantage of by the trade deals we've made?
Oh, look, trade deals and free trade are not the same thing. And there are such things as bad trade deals. There's no question about that. But bad trade deals in themselves don't mean that the case for free trade is somehow wrong. What they do say is that America has certainly entered into trade agreements that in the overall scheme of things, some of them may lead to better economic arrangement for America, but a lot don't. So I think in the cases of free trade, we need to be very careful and understand that free trade and trade deals are not the same thing. And it may be the case that we'll never get to the optimal free trade arrangement. And what we should be looking for with these trade deals is to say, what actually makes America more competitive, and take it from there.
It's Dr. Samuel Gregg, the Director of Research at the Acton Institute in Grand Rapids, today speaking at Michigan State University, answering the question, has America become Europe? And the answer is, well, some parts have. Dr. Gregg, great to have you on WILS.
Thank you for having me on.